I heard milling around last night, or was that a ghost?
Me, probably.
And a nightmare?
No.
Did I ever tell you about Mr. Baldo?
Mr. Baldo?
Yeah. I was a little younger than you, standing in line for the Ferris wheel at the Rowan County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, I feel this fat white glove tap me on the shoulder. I spin around, and there he is, Mr. Baldo.
Hey, kiddo, would you like a balloon?
Go ahead, laugh. It's funny. It wasn't funny back then, I can tell you that. I couldn't get him out of my head. Every night, he would come to me in my dreams. And every night when he came to me, I ran. It got so bad that I made my mom stay in the room with me until I could fall asleep every night.
Really?
Really. It went on like that for months. And then one day, the nightmare suddenly stopped. Want to know how? Well, I fell asleep, and just like always, Mr. Baldo came to me, only this time, I didn't run. This time, I stood my ground. I just looked at Mr. Baldo and his stupid face, and I said, go away. Go away! Just like that, he was gone. Never saw him again. Easy peasy, right?
Easy peasy.
Just like that.
Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going to like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. It won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Bonnie, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever. Mischievous.
Here.
And dangerous.
Gremlins, huh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of
them. Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. Billy, what are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
By Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you.
Every child is afraid of the dark, the unknown, the nightmare. In Gatlin, Nebraska, that nightmare is in the corn. Stephen King's Children of the Corn.
Nightmare.
Hey everybody, this is Tony with a Stranger Things podcast, and today we're talking about Chapter 3, The Pollywog. So Dustin starts the episode off entering the house when caught by his mom while bringing in a baby Demogorgon, which he doesn't know is a baby Demogorgon, which he feeds Nougat. And this is a very, very interesting episode. This is really a episode all about Dustin, Dart, and Will for the most part. Now, Dustin's new pet gets a name, Dart, as I mentioned before, and he starts to rapidly grow while doing an eerily Demogorgon scream, all while Dustin is asleep. You know, and obviously, Dustin has been researching exactly what Dart is, and he's some kind of new species that hasn't been found. So he goes down a whole rabbit hole on trying to figure out exactly what Dart is, and he heads to the library later on. But we get another flashback of 11 to switch courses a little bit. Of 11 in the woods, watching Hopper put Eggos into the box when they meet for the first time after 11 disappears into the Upside Down. Now, flash forward. Hopper and 11 have a not so healthy breakfast because Hopper is trying to make up for what he did or didn't do for Halloween night. Now they are eating a triple decker Eggo extravaganza, which is pretty much Eggos with whipped cream, chocolate, candy, just a whole bunch of crap. And he says, oh, it's only 8,000 calories. That's the good part. And I just love their interaction between one another. Now, Hopper notices 11 has been visiting Mike via the void, and he sees a little cord running from the living room to the bedroom where 11 obviously is sleeping. And he's asking questions about that, and he's, you know, saying pretty much that I miss Mike and the rest of them too. But they're having to stay separated. 11 is having to stay in the cabin and not have anything to do with Mike, because of course we later on in the episode we know that the government agencies are listening to their every conversation. And we know this because of a conversation that Nancy has to Mrs. Holland, Barb's mom, later on, and we see them listening in. Now, 11 gets angry at Hopper. She basically uses her powers and storms off into her room at this very moment. Now, meanwhile, at the buyer's house, Bob offers to give Will a ride to school. And this, you know, starts a whole thing in and of itself. Him offering this ride, and Joyce is, you know, asking Jonathan. Jonathan really can't do it because he's got work, school, and just a whole host of other things that he's trying to get done within that day, and he can't really do it. So, you know, Bob offers. Now, meanwhile, Dustin is at the library, like I mentioned before, and he's checking out books, more than he probably should be, more than he's allowed, rather. And, you know, and I just love the whole nostalgia of just going into a library during just doing this time. It was just something that you just did. And I remember spending months in the library, hours throughout the entire year, especially during the summertime, which was weird and oddly enough. And I know that there was this time where they would have comic books that would actually be available in the library here in my local library here in the state of Georgia. And they, you know, we would sit there and just read all of these comics and, you know, everything, books. And, you know, I would disappear into books for the summer, you know, for the summer for the most part. Now, of course, there was a combination of a lot of different things I would do during the summer. I just would go bike riding, you know, with a lot of my friends, and we would go to the local parks and spend some of the summer in the parks and just finding adventures, riding around neighborhoods, and it was just a wondrous, wonderful time to be a child. And you know, for the most part, I was a latchkey kid, and just going and just exploring these different worlds, whether it was the library, reading, diving deep into a book, whether it was a Neverending Story or The Wizard of Oz, or you know, just any of those books, just, you know, insert book here, you know, we were reading all of them, and whether we were reading them together or comics or drawing comics, and just, it was just really a really fun time. And just looking back on those experiences, and I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. Now, back in Hawkins, Bob and Will ride to school. When Bob tells Will the story of a character that sounds oddly enough like Pennywise the Clown from It, and it's a really creepy story, and it just draws you in. And I just love what they did in this very scene when Bob is telling the story, and Will is like really intensely paying attention, and the background music that they had playing on the radio is just drowned out, and this eerie music just pulls to the forefront, and as if Will is just being drawn into what Bob is saying, and he's just pulling him in, and then all of a sudden he says easy peasy, and you know, he's just, you know, he tells him this this way of handling it, and as we see later on at the end of the episode, it doesn't work out so well. And it was good intentioned, it was not so good information, but we can just see that this does not play out well for Will later on, and it wasn't the best advice for him. Now, Max and Lucas talk about being missing, and the reason he's being called Zombie Boy. So they're talking about how Will was missing, and Lucas basically fills Max in pretty much on what happened and why they're calling him Zombie Boy. Now, meanwhile, Mr. Clark is doing his thing in school. He's you know, in class with the boys. He's telling them about all these things, you know, within the science world, and about this gentleman that had this rod, and how, you know, it almost changed his personality when he had this rod, that there was this, you know, accident, and it's really almost gruesome. And I'm like, you know, I don't remember, you know, being in school them saying something, but I remember, you know, watching Sweeney Todd in middle school. You know, and if anybody has seen the original Sweeney Todd, not the Sweeney Todd with Johnny Depp in later years, but the original from the late 70s, early 80s, that was it was a musical. That was a really, really intense and quite violent show that they put on Broadway. So I can possibly see where, you know, a teacher would say and do certain things, because you know, you were allowed to do and get away with a lot of things in the 80s. And of course now we have this whole culture where, you know, kids are helicoptered around and they're just coddled so much, and I don't think that doesn't do them any justice to coddle them and to basically shelter them from the world itself. But that's just personal preference, personal opinions. So Hopper continues to investigate the area where the pumpkins have been rotting with his deputies at the police station, and they continue to go down that path. Now Eleven is left in the cabin when she has a flashback. you know, and you know, when Hopper first brought her to the cabin, and they're having this conversation, and she's just looking around and not knowing exactly what to make or take of the cabin itself, and he, you know, Hopper basically comes out and said this was an old cabin that my I think my father had, or grandfather, or I can't remember exactly, but it was one of the two. And he goes, starts to go through these records. But anyway, we get a montage at this very moment of the two cleaning up the cabin to music, and they're just, you know, of course, I just love these these 80s montages where they're, you know, there's this transformation being done, and you know, things are developing, and you know, it kind of like moves the story forward a lot, and we figure out exactly what happened when Eleven escaped from the Upside Down by the school, and you know, she's met by Hopper. Hopper is basically keeping her alive while she's doing some small things here and there within the woods. So I really appreciate what they did there to move the story along pretty quickly, fairly quickly. Now, there also, you know, there's also a booby trap, and they're setting booby traps outside of the cabin, and you know, and this kind of like is a little bit of a callback to when Hopper was possibly in the military and he learned to do these certain things. You know, he sets up this line, booby trap, a trip line, as it's called, and it, you know, it basically makes a loud, you know, gunshot sound as someone is approaching if they trip over it. So it's not, you know, hence trip line. But I just love that. And Hopper just, he sets up a few rules, you know, along the way. We don't do stupid things. We don't take chances, you know, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, Eleven pretty much breaks every single one of those rules. I mean, she breaks each and every one. Now, Steven and Billy play basketball at school when Steve's really bested by Billy at this point. And it's just a really, really fun scene to watch because, you know, Steve used to be the king on campus, and now not so much. He's not that as much, and Billy is really, you know, taking advantage of his situation, whether or not he's being manipulated for the most part into doing what he wants him to do, and he's kind of like goading him, and he's really twisting the knife in Steve's back, going, you know, I'm the best now, and you know, and he's trying to make him be better than what he is as far as, you know, basketball anyway, and not for anything else, because Billy's not the greatest of guys, and we see some racist overtones later on, but we'll get to that when we get to it. And like I said, the Stranger Things doesn't necessarily talk about it as much, but it's not even overtly said within any of the episodes. But it's slightly, especially in this season and a couple of the episodes, it's hinted at with Billy's character. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Now, Steve and Nancy have an argument about the night before at the party, and they're just talking in the alleyway at the or in between the buildings at the school. And you know, Steve comes out and it's like, you don't remember anything that's happened. And then, you know, the conversation finally comes to a head, and it's like Steve's like, well, you know. You know, he basically wants Nancy to tell him that she loves him. And, you know, she's like, you know, I was drunk. I was, you know, I wasn't thinking straight. And it's really a fun scene to see when they're going, you know, head to head and they're at odds with each other. But Nancy stops short and doesn't say, I love you. And she has this look on her face of confusion as if, you know, she doesn't know what she should or, you know, should say at this moment. So I really found that to be really interesting because it's starting to set the stage and starting to set up possibly a relationship between her and Jonathan later down the line. Now, Dustin shows the party Dart. He shows everyone Dart, and they're all looking like, what is this? And one of the funny scenes is, you know, Luke is saying, it's like a live booger. And I just, you know, it's, and all the kids are, you know, pretty much gross out at this point of Dart. Now, Dustin examines Dart and tries to figure out exactly what Dart is. And Will briefly gets a flashback to the end of, you know, to the end of the last episode in season one, when he basically coughed up a slug. And we all remember that was like one of the closing scenes in season one. And he gets this flashback of that, and he like looks at Dart, and it's like he correlates the two. He's like, wait a minute, this is something different. This is something else. This is not as innocent as it may seem. And I love the way they have to play that out. Now, Bob, meanwhile, has lunch with Joyce and has a conversation about the kids from the Halloween night bullying Will and how his camcorder is, you know, it just basically got wrecked for the most part. And, you know, the way Joyce just flies off the handle, and she's just so proactive in what she wants to do to these kids. And she's like, I'll kill them. You know, she's just so passionate. And I just, you know, a lot of people, you know, like I said before in the past, a lot of people see her as being, you know, overplaying this, overacting, but I don't see it as that. I see it as a mother who is, you know, maybe a bit, you know, has had a little bit too much caffeine, but she really cares and she really appreciates Bob for what he is providing her children at this point, although she doesn't expect it at all, and she says as much throughout the season. Now, Jonathan, before we get to Nancy and Jonathan, let's talk about Hopper. Now, Hopper talks to Dr. Owens at the lab about the pumpkin spread. He goes in with this map and saying, you know, I've marked off on my map this area, and this area. And it seems like it's coming from a central area and it's spreading out. And Dr. Owens is a bit dismissive. And I don't think he's pieced together exactly a correlation between what's going on in the lab and what's going on outside of the lab in this pumpkin field. Like, possibly there has been a area where it seeped out of the lab and it's coming up through another part in Hawkins, Indiana. So he's a bit dismissive, and, you know, he gets into a back and forth with Hopper, and Hopper's like, you know, I've done my part, you need to do your part, you need to figure out exactly what's going on. And we get some of this later on in the episode, a bit of it, but mostly later on in the season, where we see where there's the little small tornadoes, and there's one that starts, but then they look down, they pan down, and all the others within these little bottles that they have are doing the exact same thing. So it's almost like what they brought out later on, it's like a hive thing. It's like one bee does something, all of the bees do the exact same thing, so it's like they're all connected. So we're going to see a bit of that with Will towards the end of this this episode, and definitely within this season. This is when really it gets darker, and these seasons are getting darker and darker as we go, but I'm loving what they're doing within the episode. Now, to go back to Nancy and Jonathan, they talk about Steve asking Jonathan to take Nancy home, and Jonathan says that shows that Steve really cares about her. And Nancy, at this very moment, she gets a plan to take down the lab. Now, before we get into Nancy's plan and, you know, this mind, you know, this look she has within her eyes, and you can tell her mind is spinning. Before we get into a lot of that, let's talk about, you know, go back to, you know, Steve asking Jonathan to take Nancy home. Now, you know, I initially said, and now this is something that I had forgotten about. This was like a little, you know, line, a little, which I thought was a throwaway line before, but it's actually not. It's a really big, big part of their dynamic and Jonathan and Nancy actually moving forward and Steve basically being pushed to being the third wheel. And it's a slow process. It slowly happens. But it happens more and more with every episode until we get to the point to where they are a couple, but not a couple at the same time. It's a really weird dynamic, and it's like it's a friendship, but it's a friends with benefits, as we'll see later on in the season. But I really love the way they played this up. But that shows that Steve's character has matured a lot, and it goes against what I said in the previous episode that Steve has some maturity to gain, but that's not the case. He even though he was upset, and Jonathan says as much, even though he was upset and he was angry at the whole situation, he still asked for Jonathan to take her home to make sure that she got home safely, because obviously he realized that there were, as I quote a lot of the characters, douchebags like Billy at the party that would possibly take advantage. And I talked about a little bit of that, how that could have gone completely down the wrong road. And Steve just being there and making sure that she got home was a really good indication. And it also shows Jonathan's character too, right? And this is why he's one of my favorite characters in the series so far, is because even though he has these feelings for Nancy, he is still taking up for Steve, because he knows that even though he has feelings, you know, Steve has these really intense feelings, and he says that he loves her, and I believe that when he says that, because, you know, he's just so hurt by what was happening. And like I was saying before, this doesn't take away anything, you know, when he did what he did after the fact of, you know, Steve seeing Jonathan in the bedroom with her, which he didn't know the situation. But, you know, and, you know, Tommy H in season one, what they did on the theater marquee. But like I said, we started to see the turn once he went back and started to take down some of the graffiti that they had put up on the marquee. Now, with all that being said, it's really good to see a lot of the growth of a lot of the characters and just the different layers that they have, because not, like I've always said before, not everyone is in a particular area. They don't just have one side to them. They're not just all in one area. People are usually just spread out as far as character, emotions, just different sides to them. It's too nuanced. It's different. It's very, very different. So I love this whole aspect. Now, talking about Nancy's plan, we know what this plan is going to be all about. It has to do with her, Jonathan, and Murray later on in the episode. And this is one of the comedic episodes, one of the most comedic episodes when they go to visit him, but we'll talk about that when we get into it. But this plan really has to do with them going into the lab and getting information. Now, we know that Nancy called a Mrs. Holland, and the government agencies were watching. So this plays into a scene that we'll see later on, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Now, Eleven continues her defiant walk when she sees a mother playing with her daughter, which causes another flashback of her and Hopper. You know, Hopper reading a story to her while telling her that her mother is dead. And this is one of the most tear-jerking scenes of the episode. And, you know, just her being there and just in that bed and just that look on her face and the realization that she doesn't have a mother in that same sense, or a mother that's able to be there for her, as we learn a little bit later on when we see subsequent possible visits between her and this Terry Eyes, which we now know at this point is thought to be her mother. And we see a lot of her family dynamic being played at this very moment and being pushed to the forefront and just showing just all the different dynamics of her family and family life, or said family, even if it's a adoptive sister or whatever it may be. We just see a lot of this, and I just love this whole scene, just her laying in bed and going, and then, you know, flash forwarding a little bit, just going to see her visiting her her mother and her sister, and just all of this, her trying to piece the pieces together and her trying to figure herself out. But Joyce, meanwhile, tries to get the tape to work from the camcorder that Bob was talking about the night of Halloween, when there were some bullies that were bullying Will. And we get a lot of that, you know, in this episode and the scene. And just when she gets something into her mind, into her head, and she's realizing things and all those wheels are spinning, I just love seeing her operating at that level. Now, I love the whole scene in this, you know, continuation of her, you know, trying to get the tape to work, you know, that, you know, with Joyce and the camcorder and the VCR, and she's figured out that this drawing that Will did earlier, it was something that he had seen, something that he has seen within his episodes and or flashbacks. And she gets some trace paper and goes over and traces this image, and then she puts the Will's drawing in this new image that she's just sketched up quite quickly together. And she sees that there's a parallel between the two. And of course, we know at this point it's the mind flare. She's trying to figure all of this out. And as of this episode, we haven't quite gotten a name for the monster, for the new monster of the season, the Mind Flayer, but we will. Now, you know, Joyce, of course, then sees the tape, and then she looks back at, you know, back at the picture, back and forth, and of course, it's the Mind Flayer on the tape. Now, Will tells Mike that Dart is a baby Demogorgon. I mean, this is something that happened off screen, but we know it's something that happened. And I just love the way they kind of like just, you know, put the information out there and we can figure out exactly what's going on. But the boys have a meeting in the AV room when Dart is released from his Ghostbusters trap and escapes, while music that is similar to music from the Gremlins plays in the background. It's not exactly the Gremlins music. It's not, because I don't know if they could or even try to get the music for it, but it changes direction halfway into the musical score at that very moment. It changes direction and it goes to something a little bit different, but those first two or three notes at the very top sound exactly like Gremlins. But I know the Duffer Brothers, they even said that they had their composer do something that sounded exactly like Gremlins. So this is a moment that's exactly like Gremlins. And there's a lot of parallels for the Gremlins and Dart within this season, because as we know, Gizmo in the original Gremlins movie, he starts off as Gizmo, a nice little pet that the dad brought home. and he turns into something far different. Stripe was one of the ones. So, you know, this is one of the gremlins that came from him after he was fed. He got water spilled on him, which was the major thing that turned him into some of these other monsters that came from him. So there's a lot of parallels there between Gremlins and Dart. And this was intentional because this is something that the Duffer Brothers wanted to do at this very moment. Now, we get Jonathan and Nancy, and they arrive at the Willers house when they are briefly stopped by Karen Willer. And Nancy and Jonathan, they lie about a test that they had to take, but they're, what they're actually doing is planning to call Nancy, Barb's mom. And I brought this up a little bit earlier on, and, I just want to say that Karen Wheeler, she's pretty hot. I don't know. Maybe somebody else sees it, but I've seen these pictures, and they really play a lot of this up in season three, so I don't know. She's definitely a hot mom. Wow, yeah. Anyway, to move on from that. So after Nancy and Jonathan, they lied to her about all of them having to take a test and all these other things. Nancy calls Barb's mom, and of course, like I said, you know, we get the conversation where we know the government agents are listening over the phone, and Hopper and Dr. Owens, they investigate the pumpkin crisis, because that's what I'm calling it now, the pumpkin crisis. And when Hopper is called away, and he now knows that Eleven has left the cabin, and he's, you know, the other deputies, they don't know exactly what's going on. They haven't been filled in, but he knows exactly, okay, I know exactly what is happening here, what has happened. I need to get this situation under control. And we get this moment where the deputy is like, hey, maybe that murder guy wasn't too far off, you know, saying about the shaved head Russian girl, because now we're getting this report from this mom, and the deputies are starting to, you know, slowly piece this together, and Hopper already knows exactly what it is, and it's not, you know, a bunch of bullshit. So we get that within a matter of a few seconds within the episode. Now, Eleven arrives at this school. She's walking around and she's looking for Mike. And of course, you know, Mike is still looking for Dart. They're still running around the school looking for Dart, trying to figure out exactly where he is. Dustin, of course, finds him much later in the episode. But Mike has a confrontation with Max, which I think is something that really needed to happen within this episode to go ahead and start moving the story and move everything forward, so that everyone is on the same page. Max is getting this information slowly but surely. It's trickling in, and I think that's probably the best way, because you wouldn't want to throw everything all at once on Max, but at the same time, she has to know exactly what's going on, because the stakes are very high in the situation that's happening with Will. They don't know how high until later on in the episode, moving into episode 4. But Mike has a confrontation with Max when Eleven sees the two talking, and she gets upset and she causes Max to fall. And she's thinking, you know, Mike's already replaced her. She's just this jealous teenage girl, and I just love the way they're playing this. Like, she just uses this power every once in a while just for the hell of it, right? She doesn't use these powers to better a situation or to help out in a situation. She uses them because, you know what, I have them, I'm pissed off at this moment, I'm gonna use them. And that is really, really something that a you know, a teen would do, or probably anyone would do for the most part, but definitely a teen would do. I'm jealous, I'm going to do this, I'm going to mess up this situation. And he causes her, and she causes Max to fall. And Eleven is just like really pissed off, and she just leaves at that very moment. Now, Mike sees that she's fallen, and it's just the way that it's described, the way Max describes the whole situation, and in the way she fell, she says it's almost like a magnet pulled me. And that for him just sparks something, a callback to something, like, you know, wait a minute, this might be Eleven. And he's had these little conversations, not necessarily conversations, but he's heard her voice come through when he's on the walkie, like the one time where there was this glimpse where she came through, and then the boys rushed through and were, you know, and it's like, okay, well, maybe that was just the boys or some little feedback, and a little, you know, even Mike says something to the extent of, you know, I thought I heard something, and the boys were like, well, maybe that's just, you know, some feedback from another line or someone else talking, and you just heard that briefly come through for a moment. So, you know, that's come put to rest for a little bit. But then Mike runs to the gymnasium doors and it runs outside of them, thinking that Eleven has caused the fall, and he just looks out, and now Eleven was just there, and she just disappears at that moment. She's known for just disappearing. It's almost like Batman to the very, you know, I don't know. You know, she just disappears, and Mike comes out. He's looking all over, like, and you get this music that, you know, when they first met for the first couple times, or when they're walking in and they're seeing each other through a door, said door, whatever, and you get this, you know, this little glimmer of music, and I just love the way they just play up, like, wait a minute, something's about to happen. No, not quite yet. So Joyce calls the school looking for Will, and of course they're all looking around for Dart, and, you know, Will finds Dart, and he just runs off. And, you know, he has an episode into the Upside Down that's fully immersive, and this is one of the best scenes in the episode so far, because this takes him right into the Upside Down. There's no longer a Viewmaster point of view here to where he's stuck in between. He's fully inside this Upside Down, and he runs off, and then Dustin, of course, comes right after him and gets Dart. The boys have a conversation, they talk back and forth, and then Will runs out of the school via the Upside Down onto the field, and everyone at this very moment is looking for him. His mom comes there looking for him at this very moment. The boys come out rushing, and then they see him in the middle of the field where he's been possessed by the Mind Flayer after listening to, you know, some well-intentioned information from Bob, but after listening to what Bob said earlier. And, you know, and then he's sitting there, and it looks like all of this is going inside of him. He's being thoroughly, fully possessed at this very moment. And we get all of this going inside of him, and it's just really, really, you know, fun to see this play out like this, because we're starting to get some Exorcist references and, you know, point of view here anyway. But I just absolutely adore what they're doing with this series, especially within this episode. So the episode ends with some very, very ominous music going out, and that's pretty much the end of the episode. Now, you know, it's a big contrast between the last episode, you know, going out with Ghostbusters music. It was scary, but it was, you know, a bit fun at the same time. You know, it's Halloween time, so it was a fun, you know, episode. But this episode, it got really dark really fast, and I just absolutely like the way and love the way in which they're taking this story and they're taking this series, because now the stakes are starting to pile up. They're starting to, everything is starting to come together, and as we'll see, Max and the rest of the group will start getting some more information. And you know, I just love what this episode, you know, what this series did, especially in this episode, because once you get around to you know, to episode 3 or 4 within the series, we get these really good episodes where it's like the first couple are explaining everything. We get this event that happens in the middle of the season, and then the rest of the episodes, which in this season we have about, we have 9 episodes. So it's a bit more than, it's one more than the first season. So, and just like the Little Brother said, they had to really talk about and really explain some things, and really, they really needed an extra episode. They've always said that they're not going to do more episodes than they have to, which excites me so much for season 4, because I'm thinking there's probably going to be about 20 episodes. That's why they've cut it into 2 volumes. There's going to be a lot of story to tell and a lot of world building, and for them to get it right. So I'm thinking that we're going to get this major cliffhanger with a death towards the end of volume 1. Going into volume 2, the stakes are risen, and we get these new characters from the Hellfire Club that are being brought out. And I don't know if anyone's noticed in the trailers, but it seems like a lot of the kids in our party, especially the ones that are in Hawkins, mostly the ones that are in Hawkins, or for the most part, the ones that are in California too, now that I think of, because Mike, he is, you know, he's seen with Will, and Mike has a Hellfire t-shirt on, as well as Dustin. So I don't know. So we'll see. You know, there's a lot of speculation there, but we'll see exactly what's going on. Of course, we'll know in a couple of weeks here. But this is a really good episode. But like I was saying before I got so sidetracked by what I was talking about with the Hellfire Club and just, you know, the fourth season, back to the second season, this episode. So, you know, they really, really build the world, and they build the stories, and we get a lot of information as is needed. But anyway, I'm not going to go on any further with this, because we're going to jump right into episode 4 here shortly. Well, thank you guys for listening to a Stranger Things podcast. You guys have made me the number one. I don't care what anybody else says. number 1 podcast for Stranger Things that everyone is listening to. As of the time of this recording. So I appreciate that so much. And start to give me some feedback. I'm going to leave a little bit of time in between episodes so that you guys can start to get that feedback in and tell me your thoughts on these episodes and you know, and just comments and just what you think is going on and some maybe some theories that you have on everything, or some information that you may have about said episode. I know for a fact that a lot of the show is filmed here in Georgia, about 3 hours away from where I am. So I've had a chance to visit some of these locations. I'm gonna do a summer trip for probably about 3 or 4 days over the weekend, and probably in between volume 1 and volume 2, sometime in that span. Sometime we'll see what happens, or if it's after, or maybe even, well, probably won't be before, but probably in between or after Volume 2 has been released after we've talked about these episodes. And I'll probably see if I can do a couple episodes from the locations, take some pictures, all that stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. I've got a couple things that are planned. But yeah, this is going to be a really interesting season here. There's a lot of parallels to The Exorcist, like I said earlier on. But anyway, this has been Tony with the Stranger Things podcast. Make sure you guys are subscribing so that you get the episodes as soon as they come out, and liking, sharing, and please send me a you know, great reviews, or just put those reviews on wherever you listen to this podcast. Anyway, this has been Tony with the Stranger Things podcast. I'll see you guys in the Upside Down.
I found him.
Where?
In the bathroom. By Mr. Salerno's. It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you.
Easy peasy.
Just like that.